Here we are again. One more time. Let's pray. Let's lift up Blaine's wife, Shirley. She's in the hospital. She went into emergency the other day. She still has not gotten a room. So it's been 2 days she's sitting in ER, just kind of hanging out. So let's just pray for the Lord to move and get her moved. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with anything at any time. And Lord, you know, Father, you're well aware of the things that are there, Lord. So I just pray for comfort for Shirley, that you would just speak to her heart even right now, Lord, about the things that you have for her. Father, just to calm Blaine, Lord. I know he's upset. He's just crying out for wisdom, Lord, and what to do and how to get it done, Lord. And so we just look to you for it, Father. Pray you'd move on the hearts of the doctors, the nurses, the techs, all that are there, Lord, that you would just get Shirley moved and get her into a room so that she can get healed and strengthened up and then get back home again, Lord. So we just look to you for it. And we'd give you thanks that we can come to you with this. Thank you that you hear our cries. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God that hears. You're not a God made out of stone or wood that has ears but can't hear, that has arms but can't hold them out, that has eyes but can't see. Lord, you're a God that hears everything and that knows everything. So we trust you and commit her into your care. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 17, if you turn there. And while you're turning there, I want to read a portion from Jeremiah chapter 50 that deals with this. It's an amazing thing of what the Lord says in his word. About Babylon. We're going to look at Babylon tonight. But he says in verse 10 of chapter 50 in Jeremiah, it says, "And Chaldea shall be a spoil, and all that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord, because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of my heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness." And we're going to see that Babylon, that wilderness tonight. "A dry land and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and shall hiss at all her plagues." So we see that Lord has some words for Babylon, has some words for those that destroy God's heritage. And tonight we're going to look at religious Babylon in chapter 17. Chapter 18 deals with commercial Babylon, and we'll take a look at that the next time we get into it. But it's amazing of all the things that are going on, of all the things that are coming together, as we even see the condition of the world even right now, we know that things are coming quickly. And the world is getting ready for it. The United Nations has a program called the Ark of Hope. And you can tell already the United Nations, we know what they're doing. But they have 10 laws for the world order. For the New World Order. 10 laws. Gee. Sounds kind of like some commandments I know of. But it's called the Ark of Hope. Doesn't that sound so wonderful and so gracious and so loving? But it's for the New World Order. The Catholic Church has a catechism that they're putting together, and I'm not sure if it's finished or if they're still putting it together or what, but a catechism for the new universal Church, which is what we're going to look at tonight. They're all ready to bring things together under one head, globalism at its finest. And we know that the world is heading toward globalism right now. And it's at breakneck speed, it seems like, that they're pushing and going. And so here we are in this place, and it says in verse 1 of chapter 17, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, so the ones that had just been poured out, and he talked with me. Amazing, this angel takes the time, come over to John and talk with him, and he says unto me, come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So he recognized this angel, and it was different from the other angels because he said it was one of the seven angels, but he recognized it as being one of the angels. So evidently there's some recognition things that go on in heaven. It kind of gives us a clue that we're going to recognize some people and some things. And John, seeing this angel from before as they were pouring out the vials, recognizes this angel. The angel comes over to him, takes the time to come over to him. Just poured out the wrath of God upon the earth. And he comes over and talks with John. And he says, come hither. This is going to be the third, this isn't the third time, but there's three times in the book of Revelation that we see come hither. The first time is in chapter 4 when he says, come up hither. We hear that and we see that. Here we see come hither. He wants to show him something, and what he's going to show him is the judgment upon a religious world. Religious, but has no relationship. The third time is going to be in chapter 21. It's in verse 9. You can look it up as you go. And it's when the Lord says, well, let's take a look at it now. Chapter 21. Just to give you an idea of what's to come here. Chapter 21, verse 9. Let's just read the one verse just for time's sake. But it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. Another one of the angels, he recognizes them as being one of the angels that poured it out. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Isn't this cool? Three times. Which was, which is to come. For John, it's the same thing. We're seeing the same things. We've seen the things that have come. We're seeing the things that are now. We're going to see the things that are coming later. So the book of Revelation, just going along right with where the world is. But come hither. Come, take a peek. Come and look. Not just to gaze at it, but to really intently see what's going on. And we're called to look at the things that are going to come too, as well as the things that are now. And there's a purpose for that, so that we're rooted, we're grounded, we have the whole counsel of God, and we come into that place where we're looking intently at the things that God is doing, not what the world's doing. We already know what the world's doing. We know where the world's going to go. We're far enough into Revelation, we know where the world is going. But he says, look at the plan that God has, that he's going to rapture the church. Come look at the plan that God has for the world that's going to rest and be at odds with him. Judgment is going to come upon them. And then come and see the beautiful finished work of Christ in his wife. And you and I are the wife. We're the church, the bride of Christ. So he takes us all the way through, from the time of the rapture to judgment to the end result, the finished work in our lives in getting the bride ready, adorned for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Amazing stuff. I love it. It just comes together so well. And he says, with whom? This great whore that sits on many waters, and we're going to see that those many waters are nations, they're people groups, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk the wine of her fornication. So globalism comes to its peak. The peak of where they would want to be. All the kings have committed fornication with this religious system. And the inhabitants of the earth also have drunk the same wine of her fornication that the kings have. So everybody's in agreement. Everybody's in that same place of just coming to this religious system and just giving themselves over to it. And so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast. So here's this woman sitting on this scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. That's the beast. But look at what this woman is sitting on, a scarlet-colored beast. And that hit me this week as I was looking at that. Isaiah says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. But if his blood doesn't cover it, then they stay scarlet, and judgment is poured out on it. The Antichrist, one who is against God, one who is against the things of God, comes and he's still covered in scarlet. He's not white as wool. He's a counterfeit, but he's a bad counterfeit. And the religious system is coming, is carried into a place by the Antichrist, by the beast that's going to come full of sin. The religious system of the day. Isn't it amazing? They're trying to get rid of religion. They're going to go back to religion, but then they're going to get rid of religion again. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? God hates religion. He loves relationship. That's why the world has to go to religion and a religious system, because there is no relationship. Oh, keep your calling and election sure. Know who you belong to and know the one that loves you. We don't want to be religious. And so, Lord, help our hearts not to be religious, but to have a great relationship with him. Especially in these days, we're getting closer and closer to the things that are coming. And so it says then that this beast has carried this religious system to this place. And we're going to see what the beast does with this religious system. And so with it, the seven heads, the 10 horns, just speaking of the heads of the nations, the kings that were going to be there, the 10 regions probably that were going to be there that haven't received a kingdom yet. We saw that in chapter 13. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. But here comes the religious system, and it comes and it's lacking in nothing in the riches of the world. The religious system, well financed, well taken care of. But it comes in such an odd way, but because there's a cup in her hand and it's full of abominations and filthiness. It's not full of the forgiveness of God. It's full of abominations and filthiness. And that's the cup that the religious system is going to have. Not a relationship, because remember, Jesus drank the cup of wrath for us. His cup took care of our sin, but she has in her hand, this religious system has in her hand, filthiness. Isn't it terrible to think that there's something religious, but it's filthy? It's awful. And how scary that is, that there's so many people who are going to enter into a religious system that's going to be filthy and think that they're okay. I'm religious. I'm okay. Oh. And God hates religion. We're going to see his wrath is going to be poured out on this. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Mystery, just something that was unknown but will be shown what it is to be known of. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And as you look at that, you just see these names and they're in bold type. Bold letters that just show the importance that's there. This mystery that's being shown to be known for what it is. It's Babylon. The things that we've seen have been all through history. But notice, she's the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Here comes a woman who is a mom who is carrying with her and teaching the kids that come along with her abominations. And that's what the world is coming to, isn't it? We're teaching people abominations and filthiness. Instead of teaching them the Word of God, we're teaching them the things of the world. Instead of teaching them the Word of God and the praise and worship of God, we're teaching them songs against God. Oh. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. She was drunken with the blood of the saints. The church, you would think, would never do anything like that. And yet, here she is in that place where she's drunk with the blood of the saints, has killed the saints. A religious system getting rid of the real church. Do you see it coming in the world now? The world is okay with religion, but the world is not okay with the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where we are, and we're coming with that, and they want to get rid of the church. They're going to applaud when we get raptured out of here. We're going to be applauding too, but for a different reason. They're going to be applauding because they're rid of us, and now they can move on with their system. They can move on with making people feel good, but having no relationship with Jesus. It'll be all-inclusive. It'll include everybody that's there. And that's one thing. We went to a funeral the other day, and I don't know how many times. It was at least three times, maybe four times, when the priest, the pastor, whatever he was up there, and they were going to have communion at this funeral, that he said, anybody can come, and everybody can come. And our Bible doesn't say that. It says, take care. And don't drink the cup and eat the bread unworthily, because it'll heap condemnation on your head. But he said, anybody can come. Everybody will come. And he had to say it at least three times, if not four. All inclusive. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you have a relationship with Jesus or don't. You come, which goes against everything that the Word of God says. This is going to be a religious system that's all-inclusive. Anybody can come. All roads lead to heaven. It's okay. It was sad. I was, for a while, a rent-a-pastor for a funeral home, and would do funerals for people who lost loved ones who didn't have a church and wanted a church service. And so they would rent pastors, and they had a Catholic priest, they had Lutheran pastors, they had all kinds of pastors. And I did this funeral once, and it was for this lady's dad who had died, and so I agreed to do it, and was there, did the service, and she said, you do the service, and I'll finish it up, I'll talk afterwards. And usually I let them talk, and then I finish up, because I like to give them the gospel as the last thing out the door. And they know that that's what I'm going to do, because I'm always up front with them and tell them, I'm going to give the gospel, I'm going to tell them what Jesus said, and that's going to be my thing, because I don't know this person, I don't know if they're saved, not saved, whatever. And she said, that's fine, you give out whatever you want, but let me finish up. I usually don't like that. And now I know why I don't like it, because I got done, and I just had finished up giving them Jesus. And she comes up and talking about these two turtles that are going to take her father to heaven. And I'm just sitting there going, what? You just heard Jesus, and you're talking about two turtles, Harry and Fred, that are going to take this guy to heaven. And just like, oh. All-inclusive. Anything goes. You can mention what you want, but I'm going to mention what I want, and we'll all get to the same place the same way. And how scary that is. And yet, here's a religious system that's trying to get people to feel okay about themselves, because we're all going to get there. And as long as you don't stand in just having one way and one truth, then we're okay. We'll be okay together. You can mention anything you want. Oh, God has never said that. And yet here's a religious system doing that. And they're drunken with the blood of the saints. And soon it's going to be, and that's one thing that I see with this whole COVID thing, is that not only is it dividing families, it's dividing churches. It's dividing churches. And you see it coming. And the division that's going to be there is that the true and living church is going to be divided so much to itself, even more. And that's God's way of sifting, I think, getting the chaff out of the church and just bringing true believers to that place where they're just going to be together. And when they're gone, the world is going to be happy. And if they're not gone, they're going to kill them, because they're not with us. So they must be against us, so let's kill them. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, a religion can kill people, and it's okay. And we feel good about it. This woman, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Notice this, just of Jesus. It's not of any other God, it's just of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That name, there must be something about that name. I love that song, because it's true. There is something about that name, and it bothers people, especially religion. It bothers religion. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. It wasn't that John was admiring her. It's really the wording there means I wondered with great wonderment. I didn't admire her. I was just wondering, what is all this, and how can it be real? How can it be that full of stuff? And he was wondering about it, and the angel said to me, the angel knew what was going on in John's mind. And he said, wherefore did you marvel? Why are you wondering? It's almost a gentle kick, if you would, in saying, hey, what are you surprised about? You've seen all this other stuff, and just think, he hasn't said this about anything else so far all the way through Revelation. I mean, he stood back, and he's been taken back, and he didn't know what things were going on, but this is the first time he just said, I just sat in great wonderment. I couldn't believe the stuff that was going on. And it's probably because a religious system was there, and it was against Jesus. I would wonder about that too. I just wonder how people can be satisfied with religion and not satisfied with the relationship. If you're going to go to church and hear about Jesus, why not really hear about Jesus with ears that are ready to hear? And the angel said to me, why are you marveling? What's up? Come on, John. I will tell you the mystery of the woman. Remember, her name is Mystery. And he says, I'll tell you the mystery. And the beast that carried her, which had the seven heads and the ten horns. And it's strange here, back in one of the other chapters, I think it was chapter 13, it says that the ten horns had ten crowns. They don't have the crowns anymore, because they've given their power over to the Antichrist. Because remember, he's the one that's carrying this religious system in. He came in on a religious system. Remember, he comes to Jerusalem, and he's going to build this temple. Trouble is, it's not the right temple. Jesus is going to have to build a new one to make it right. But he comes into this religious system. He's pacifying the Muslims. He's pacifying the Jews. He's building a temple. And then 3.5 years in, he goes in and sits on the throne himself and says, I'm God. You don't worship any other God. And then they realize what they've done. So their crowns must have been given over. Isn't that just what we're going to do? Because what does Scripture tell us? that when we stand before the throne, we're going to cast our crowns, but we're going to cast our crowns before the one who's given us the crowns. We're not going to cast our crowns to something that's not real, that's not true. We get to worship the true and the living God. And I'm so thankful God has called us and saved us. But boy, the rest of the world, how sad, isn't it? A sad, sad world that we're entering into. I'll tell you the mystery. The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So he's talking about the Antichrist that's going to come and he was going to be killed. And doesn't Scripture in Revelation tell us that Jesus brings to John's understanding about the things that were, the things that are, and the things that are to come? The Antichrist, again, copying everything that God has just to confuse people, just to bring them to a place where they would think that they're worshiping the right things. The counterfeit religion. This Antichrist that's going to suffer a mortal wound to his head and then raise himself from the dead. Has that power. He's mighty, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's a counterfeit, but he's got some power. But where does he get it? He gets it from the Lord. The Lord allows him to do that stuff because he knows where people's hearts are. Hold your place here for a second. Let's go back to Genesis because I think there we're going to maybe bring this into a place. The word says that there's nothing new under the sun, right? So here we are back in Genesis at the beginning, Genesis chapter 10, if you go there. And we're going to see where this really has all begun. And that's why it's important. Read Genesis through Revelation because it teaches us all the way through about the things that are there. So that there will be no surprise for us. There will be nothing that'll shock us. There will be nothing that'll just shake us so much that we'll see that maybe we don't have that relationship we thought. But that's why it's important to be in the Word. In Genesis chapter 10, starting at verse 8, and it says, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth." Not mighty. And it says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. It wasn't that he was for the Lord. He was against the Lord. That word before means against. He was against the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter against the Lord, at the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Like Babylon. And Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. Shinar is where Babylon was. And out of the land went forth Asher, and he built Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calna. Pick up at chapter 11, and it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. They had one direction, one focus, globalism." They were trying to get globalism going right away in Scripture. Isn't it amazing? God gives out government, but he gives out government in a different way than globalism is going to give out government. Their government is going to be tyranny. And I'm so glad we're going to have one ruler someday, and his name is Jesus. And he's going to rule things rightly and not wrongly. The whole earth was of one language. This Nimrod has come. He was a mighty one in the earth. He was against the Lord. In the beginning of his kingdom was in Shinar, was in the place where Babylon is going to be. And they're all together. The word doesn't change. It's the same all the way from the beginning to the end. There's nothing new under the sun. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. In other words, they abode there. They made their place there. They wanted to stay there in that place where this religious system, this globalistic globalistic government was in charge because it felt good. It seemed good. We're all of one heart, one mind, one language, one speech. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. See, slime was around then too. It's nothing new. Slime was there. Now we just put it in little tubs and sell it to the kids so they can throw it around the house. And they had slime for mortar. Notice when God made something, when God made the ark, what did he use? He used pitch. They're using slime. It's not as reliable as pitch. It's not as good. Noah's boat never broke. But their kingdom is going to break. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach where? To heaven. Man's goal has always been to get to the top, to be God. Isn't that what Satan said to Eve? You can be like God. Nothing has changed all the way through. This religious system is going to be in the same place. You can be like God. And that's gonna grab the world and say, yeah, we want to be that. We want to be all that. We're all about that. That it may reach to heaven, and let's make us a name. Let's get a name for ourselves. You know what? God tells us that we need to decrease, and he needs to increase. Globalism says you need to increase, and God needs to decrease. The exact opposite of what God has for us. And God is warning us. Already in Genesis, don't go there. You don't want to do that. And that's where we go. Lest we be scattered upon the face of the earth. They knew what was going to happen if they didn't reach their peak, that they would be scattered and not attain the goal that they had to be like God. And that was Satan's goal. I want to be worshiped. I want to be God. And so here we are, this global system. And it's come all the way through, and that's what's so wonderful about Scripture. It tells us what's going on in Revelation. So back in Revelation here, he says, the beast that you saw was and is not. It's all come together in this one place in Shinar, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They're going to look at it. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. The ones that were on earth at this time was not the real church, but it was the Antichrist church, the globalistic church, and their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Thank goodness we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Our names are there. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, God knew who was going to come to salvation. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, they're going to wonder at this system. They're going to wonder at this relationship. And isn't it amazing? We always tell people that religion will kill you. And it is, isn't it? She had in her cup the fullness, the blood of the saints. Religion will kill, but relationship will give life. And here is the mind which has wisdom. So he tells us part of the mystery here. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. A lot of people believe it's Rome, could be. But mountains in Scripture usually speak of government systems. The seven hills of Rome, they're hills, they're not mountains, they're not called mountains, they're hills. The tallest one is around 500 and some feet above sea level. The lowest one is about 250 feet above sea level. Those aren't mountains. Those are just little blips in the screen here. They're just little hills. Could be Rome, we don't know, or could be these governmental systems that are going to come into place. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Amazing. There was seven emperors of the Roman system. And then it says in verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. A revived Roman Empire with the eighth coming, who is the beast, the Antichrist, and he came out of that Roman system, and he goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings of ten regions, which have received no kingdom as yet. So they still have those crowns, but no kingdom to rule over. But they're going to receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, or a very short time with the beast. Hold your place here. Go back to Daniel for a second. Chapter 7. And we see what this does, because Daniel explains this too. He brings out the same thing. We got time. Let's pick up at verse 15 in Daniel chapter 7. It says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He's seeing this vision. He doesn't understand it. He's looking for clarification, and it's bothering him, the things that he's seeing. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of those things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. And then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns. Here's the ten horns, which were in his head, and the other which came up. So this would be the Antichrist arising, and before whom three fell. And it tells us in Scripture that there's going to be ten kings. Three of them are going to give themselves over right away and just lose their kingdoms to the Antichrist. He's going to rise up out of the midst and put those down, and then the other seven are just going to give their worship to the Antichrist and give him all power. The ten horns which were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before even whom three fell, so the three were just going to be taken out by the Antichrist, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. I'm glad it didn't stop there. Because if it stopped there, we probably could just give up now. But he prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days, who is God. God came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. You and I, when we come back with Jesus, we're going to possess the kingdom. We're going to be kings and priests on this earth for 1,000 years with Jesus. Wow. And it's going to be run the way it's supposed to. Can't wait for this theocracy to come. So we see that those ten horns, well, let's go down to verse 24 and just read that, and then we'll go back. It says, then the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he's going to subdue three kings. We've seen that. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. And isn't Satan going to do that? He's going to come against God and shall wear out the saints. What a sad statement. And think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time, 3.5 years, and the But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under all the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Do something with that word. His kingdom is everlasting, not Satan's. Satan's, it says, is a short time period. But God's is forever, an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions, all of them, not just one or two of them, all of them shall serve and obey him. Ugh, thank you, Lord. So we see what's going on here in Revelation chapter 17 through Daniel, through Genesis. We see that all of Scripture comes together and brings us into a place where we can realize what's happening here. And those kings are going to rule just for a short time, for 1 hour. And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Isn't that a sad thing to know that there's going to be people in the world that are going to sell their souls to the devil? Devil, you rule over me. I want you to be in charge of my life. And there's people that are doing that. Since COVID started, the buying of satanic items, apparel, all that stuff, books, has increased double digits since COVID started. People are getting themselves ready to give themselves over to Satan. What a sad thing. And these are going to make war with the Lamb. And thank you, Lord. I'm so glad, after all this stuff that we've already read, that we get this verse right in the middle of it. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Did you ever hear of a lamb beating up anybody? But our Lamb is a capital L, and he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to rule over all forever. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. And because he's overcome them, we can overcome because of his victory. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have victory because he has victory. And we're in him and he's in us. For he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And folks, you don't want him just as your king. You want him as your Lord. And that Lord needs to be that Lord of your everyday life, of your thoughts, of your words, of your actions. He doesn't want to be just your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. And you can get along without it, but boy, you're missing out on so much here in this world. You can have victory over those things that are holding you captive right now. He wants to be Lord as well as King and Savior. And they that are with him, I love this, are called and chosen and faithful. And he's looking at way in the future, and he said, you people were called, and you people were chosen, and you're faithful. He sees the end result. You're a faithful child of God. And I love how he puts the order he puts this in. First we're called, then we're chosen. A lot of people want to make the Christian faith into a place that God is sovereign over everything and we have no free will. If we had no free will, then we'd be chosen and then we'd be called. But we're called first, and after we respond to the call, then we're chosen. We have a free will. We have free choice whether to follow after Jesus and grab a hold of his words and his truths and his victory, or we can just let it go. But if you let it go, you're going to have to suffer with the choices that you make. the choices of being in captivity to the things of the enemy, the choices of being captive to your flesh, the choices of being captive to the things of this world rather than being free from those things. In whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we want to be free in Christ. We don't want to be captive to the enemy. But he looks at us and he says, you're faithful people. I don't know when the last time was I went up to somebody and said, hey, I'm faithful. Probably never. But he sees the end result and he says, my people are a faithful people. And you know why you're faithful? Because Christ is in you and he's faithful. And that's how we get to be faithful, by walking after him and letting him make us faithful. I'm not a faithful person, but he's faithful and he's making me a faithful person. And he saith unto me, the waters which you saw, and here comes the explanation, where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Aren't you glad he tells us everything that he puts in here? Because otherwise we'd screw it up and we'd add something in there and we'd make it some mystical thing that would just be crazy. He explains it to us because he knows that we need a lot of help. He said that the waters that you saw are peoples and multitudes. So this religious system is over all these people. And they're submitting themselves to this whore. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. 3.5 years in, the Antichrist is going to get rid of the religious system and he's going to say on the throne that I am God and you have to worship me. It's funny, we even have a picture of that too. Napoleon, when he had won many, many battles, called the Pope out of Rome, called him to France, and wanted him to crown him as Emperor of France. He gets there because he agreed to it, comes to France, and they're going through this whole pomp and circumstance, getting ready to crown Napoleon as emperor. And just as he's getting ready to take the crown, Napoleon grabs the crown from him, puts it on his own head. And the picture's really clear. I don't need a religious system to make me emperor. I am the emperor, not the religious system. Because the Pope was the highest of all in the world, wasn't he? And by Napoleon grabbing that crown and putting it on his own head, he said, I don't need a religious system. I'm it. This religious system that's going to make people feel so good is going to be taken right out of the way, burned with fire, killed, destroyed. No more religious system, but the Antichrist alone. Oh. It says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. And sometimes we look at things and go, Lord, I don't understand, but I know things are going in your direction. I know that things are not out of control. And sometimes we think that because things aren't happening the way that we think they should happen in a good religious, godly system, that maybe God missed something. We go, wait a second, God, where are you in this? And he says, I'm getting my will accomplished because this has to come to pass so that I can bring my bride, so that I can defeat all the nations of the world that are against me, so that I can bring myself to that place where I'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. Trouble is, along the way, sometimes people get so upset at those things that they think this can't be God. God's out of control, or maybe he's not really the God I thought he was. Folks, don't get to that place, be in the Word and realize that God is still in control, even in the midst of this. He has put in their hearts. And didn't he do the same thing with Pharaoh? We looked at that Sunday, didn't we? With the plagues. Satan would say one, or Pharaoh would say, Satan, Pharaoh, same thing. Pharaoh would say one thing, and then as soon as the plague went away, he would harden his heart and not let the people go and not fulfill the will of God. But it was to get Pharaoh to that place where that system of government would be destroyed and that God's people could be free. They couldn't be free of it until they were free of him. It had to be destroyed. And they would think, God, what are you doing? You got Pharaoh ruling over us and he's killing us. How can this be your will? Because I've got to get your heart and I've got to get your attitude and I've got to get it to the place where you're in agreement with me. And once that happens, then you can be free. And you can know that God is always in control and God's will is being accomplished. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdoms to the beast until, that's the second time, until comes, I love it, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. He's not out of control, he's completely in control. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. She has people under her that she's ruling and reigning over. She has this religious system that thinks it's the end of things, and yet it doesn't really have anything. This religious system which is just going to be used by the enemy to think that there's something. And then to find out that Satan didn't really want her. Oh. And that's what Satan wants to do, is to just use and abuse. And if it's the church, then it's that much better. And we see churches all over falling into the trap, don't we? And how sad. And we see our relatives, we see friends that are doing the same thing. Falling into a religious system and have no relationship whatsoever. I was talking the other day with a mom at the funeral about a boy that we know, and he's moved and he got free of drugs because of Jesus, but now he's living his life for whatever he can get. And she goes, but you can't do that. He says, hey, me and Jesus are tight. We're okay. He's got a religious system, but no relationship going on because he's doing anything he wants to do. And saying, Mom, me and Jesus are okay. I'm not doing drugs anymore, so I'm all right. But has no relationship with the Lord that's keeping him straight and keeping him pure and keeping him holy. And that's what the world is coming to. And so many of our friends and relatives are going that direction. We want church, but we want it on our terms. And we want it our way. How sad when the people run the church and God doesn't run the church. When you have pastors, and we knew of some that had to sign contracts when they came to a church. You can't talk about sin. You can't talk about the blood. You have 20 minutes to give your sermon. That's it. And they sign the contracts. They're hirelings. And it's a religious system, but it's not a relationship. Because if God is running the church, then the Holy Spirit better be leading. Because if you got the people leading, it's always going to go in the wrong direction. Keep your hearts and minds in the love of God. Jude tells us and warns us, gives us instruction, gives us exhortation to do that. We see this religious system that's just going to be a bust. And Satan just going to use it to his end. And how sad that's going to be. and have people think that they're okay and they're following something good, and then find out that it's all the wrong way. Father, we do pray for those that are in religious systems, Lord, and don't have a relationship with you, that you just minister to their hearts and just encourage them to that right place, Lord. Father, we pray for those pastors, that you would just convict them, Lord, of their sin, of their ways, and that they would come and want your way, Lord. Father, we pray for our own hearts, that we wouldn't just want to be religious, that we would want to keep this relationship with you fresh and pure and right, that we wouldn't want to be just religious in our reading, religious in our worship, religious in our devotion, that we would want a relationship in it, Lord, that it would be something that we desire and something that we know that you'll give, because that's your heart. You've always wanted our hearts. You've never wanted a religion. You've always wanted a relationship with your people. You say that my sheep hear my voice and they know me. Lord, we can't know you in a system. We can only know you in a relationship. So Lord, help us. Keep us in that right path. There's so much in the world, in our flesh, in the enemy that wants to destroy the church, that would just pull us away from that. And we see those things are getting stronger and stronger, but Lord, you're still greater. You're still on the throne. You haven't given up the throne. You're always going to be on that throne. So Lord, help us to worship the one who's on the throne. Help us not to worship a system, but a God who's on the throne and leading. And Lord, give us ears to hear. We need to hear you speak, Lord. We need to hear you show us your way and not our way. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us. And Lord, may we walk in truth. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's